Wonderful to see you all. And today, you can turn in your Bibles to John chapter 14 and verse 6. But if I had to guess, I would think that most of you don't really need to open your Bibles to this verse to know it. It's one that is very well known to all of us. John chapter 14, verse 6. I should at least have my Bible. John chapter 14 and verse 6. Jesus saith unto him, that's Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The Lord will bless. As we've been going through this study of the various I am statements in the book of John, I was struck by a thought that I haven't really spent time dwelling on before. And that is, in each of these statements, of course, Christ is telling us something about himself. That much we know. What struck me is that Christ is also telling us something about us. In each of these statements, as he says, I am this, he is pointing out that we need what it is that he is. When he said in John 6 and 35, I am the bread of life, he was pointing out that we are spiritually starving, that we are hungering and thirsting, as it says in the remainder of that verse, just like the multitude that Christ had fed immediately prior. This statement physically, he was saying that we need the bread of life that he provides. When he said, I am the light of the world in John 8 and chapter 12, he was pointing out that we are walking in the darkness, stumbling along, and that we need of the light that he provides, enabled to walk without stumbling. When he said that he was the door of the sheep, he was pointing out that we are outside of his sheep, that we need the comfort, security, the safety that comes inside the sheep, and that he is the means to get to that comfort and safety. When he said he was the good shepherd, he was pointing out that we are very much like sheep. We're foolish, prone to wander, and that we need the shepherd to guide us, to protect us, to make sure that we don't become lost and attacked by the dangers that lurk outside of his protection. And when he said in John 11 and 25 that I am the resurrection and the life, he was pointing out that we are spiritually dead and that we can only find new life with Christ. None of these are particularly brilliant or revelatory thoughts, but I had never considered before that each of Christ's statement about who he was really a statement about who we are. And with that, let's turn to the verse at hand where he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. This statement, of course, was given in the upper room on the night before he was to give his life for our salvation. Supper had already ended, and possibly the remembrance feast had already been instituted. Judas had departed so that he could betray him, and Jesus had predicted Peter's betrayal. All of these things had happened prior to the passage that we're considering. And Jesus then starts talking about how he was going to his Father's house. He was already looking past his crucifixion, past his resurrection, to his ascension. And he was preparing his disciples for his departure. He was saying, I am going to my Father's house. He says that he's going to leave. He promises that he is going to return for his disciples and he promises to receive them unto himself. And he says that the disciples know where he is going and that they know the way to get there. And then Thomas, whom I love, because like me, he is often wrong and very bold about being wrong. Thomas says that we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way to get there? Now, I don't know how quite to square that with what Thomas said in chapter 11 of John, where when Christ, after holding himself back from going to Lazarus when he was sick, Christ said, "Now let's go to Bethany to Lazarus." And Thomas said, "Let us go also, that we may die with him." So Thomas knew that, you know, what they were doing was dangerous. It can't have been completely revelatory to him that Christ was talking about something that involved him. Like when he talked about departing the scene, the natural thought would be that Christ was going to die and be with his Father after death. That's actually not quite what Christ was talking about. But for him to say, "We don't know where you're going," he should know something about where Christ is going. But he says, "I don't know where you're going. How can I know the way to get there?" And that is when Christ says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Now, as we think about this, we think about, first of all, the way. If there's a way, there has to be a destination at the end of the way. And in this case, Christ has already told us in John 14 and verse 1 that it is his Father's house to which he is going. And it's worth it for us to contemplate the one who left his Father's house in glory to dwell essentially homeless for the duration of his earthly ministry. Christ said, "Foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head." This is the one who decided to leave his Father's house for our sakes. And his Father's house is a place where the disciples were to be received by Christ and to dwell in a mansion provided by Christ. And it's a place where they would be with Christ and with the Father. Now, Christ is the way to this place, the Father's house. He is the exclusive way to the Father. And we know that to seek any other way to the Father is futile. Although, being humans and foolish and rebellious, we tend to try anyway to look for other ways to look for ways, you know. I think about my kids, not Kenny because he's great, but you tell your kids, you know, this is what we want to do, and when we do it, this is the good result that's going to happen. And they love the good result. And they still won't do the thing that gets them to the good result. They still fight against it. Aren't we all like that? Isn't that our natural state? To kick against the pricks, as the Lord said to Saul on the road to Damascus. We know what's good for us spiritually, and we still fight against it every time. Christ doesn't just show us the way to the Father. He is the way to the Father. William MacDonald said, "Salvation is a person. Accept the person as your own, and you have salvation." Salvation is not a method. Salvation is not a doctrine. Salvation is a person. And that person, of course, is Christ Jesus. And I want to remind you of John chapter 10, where Christ said, "I am the door, the exclusive entry into the sheepfold, the only way to get into that place of safety for the night." Christ is the only way to get to the Father. Now, in the book of Acts, the phrase "the way" became synonymous with Christianity. Christians would refer to themselves as followers of the way, perhaps to not talk explicitly about Christ in the presence of authorities that would have persecuted them for it. But the way is something that is inextricably linked to Christ and to his followers in the century after the establishment of the church. Next, Christ says that he is the truth. If you've read John's epistles and the rest of the gospel, you know that John talks about the truth a lot. His epistles, I've been reading in John's epistles lately in my private reading, and they're full of references to the truth. I think in the first few verses of the first epistle, there's like four references to the truth right off the bat. To John, the truth means something more than reliability and accuracy. John imports some of the meaning that the word has in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, truth was used to speak of God, and it derived some of its meaning from its association with the Godhead. Paul, in Romans chapter 1, verse 25, he intimates that the truth is very close to God's essential nature. Rudolf Bultmann, the German theologian, said that the truth is God's reality, which is the only true reality. And Christ associates himself here inescapably with the truth. He doesn't claim that his words are true. He doesn't claim that his teachings are true. He says, "I am the truth." Again, to quote Rudolf Bultmann, so truth is not the teaching about God transmitted by Jesus, but is God's very revealing, very reality, revealing itself current in Jesus. Now, it's only a few chapters later that we're going to see Christ beaten, bruised, beat down in front of Pilate. And Pilate, in the very presence of the ultimate truth in the universe, is going to say insolently, "What is truth?" He was in the presence of the ultimate truth, and he could not recognize. He could not see what was literally right in front of his eyes. Now, the knowledge of the truth, and the capital T truth, is the key to our salvation. It's more than an abstract philosophical concept. It's a concrete aspect of God's nature and a defining aspect of Christ. Believe in Christ is to believe the truth, and to reject him is to reject the truth, with all that that entails. If you met a man who told you that he wasn't really a man, he was a poached egg, to use C.S. Lewis's famous analogy, then you would think, this guy's nuts, because he's rejecting the truth about himself. It's much more fashionable in our world to reject the truth of Christ, but it's even more harmful to our well-being and something as patently crazy as thinking that you're a poached egg. And finally, Christ says, "I am the light." That takes us back to John chapter 1, doesn't it? That beautiful metaphysical opening to John's gospel, where he says in verse 4, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men." Jesus is the life, as we read in John 11 and 25, and he has life in himself. Now, life here is not physical. As a matter of fact, physical life is really a distraction from the true life of which Christ is speaking. The deeper meaning of that life is expressed throughout John's gospel. When John in chapter 3, verse 16 talks about everlasting life, that everlasting life is the entry into a spiritual relationship with God that shows our prior state apart from God as being no more than state spiritual. Christ is the way and the truth and the life. And then he finishes by pointing out that no man, no one comes to the Father except by him. So to accept Christ is to be on the way to heaven and to the Father's house. Accept Christ is to know and to possess the only real truth, which is the truth about Christ as Savior of sinful mankind. And it is to have eternal life in a world that is spiritual. I'm going to finish up with a quote from Professor Leon Morris, who wrote an excellent commentary about the Gospel of John, one that I own and turn to regularly. He said, "Way, truth, and life all have relevance. The triple expression emphasizing the many-sidedness of the saving world. Way speaks about a connection between two, the link between God and man. Truth reminds us of the complete reliability of Jesus in all that he does and is. And life stresses the fact that mere physical existence matters little. The only life worthy of the name is that which Jesus brings, for his is life itself." Jesus is asserting in strong terms the uniqueness and the sufficiency of his work for man. I think there's a reason that this verse is used so often in the preaching of the gospel, because it distills so much of what is important to express to somebody who doesn't know, but doesn't believe. It expresses that Christ is the means of salvation. And it expresses that he is the only, the exclusive means of salvation. That people will search in vain for their entire lives for another way to be placed into a right relationship with God. But as we know, there is no other way. Only through Christ, the way, the truth, and the life, can we come to a peaceful relationship with God.